If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Revelation 21. I'm going to be looking at that today. You know, I was just thinking, so a year ago on Easter, I was in my office by myself with my little phone on a stand recording myself giving an Easter message, and then spent the rest of the day praying that I could get that thing uploaded so that we would have some kind of service. Oh, it's just been a crazy year, hasn't it? It's hard to believe we've just been in this pandemic a year, quarantining and everything that goes with that. And just so good to be together and starting to feel a few more people coming out, a few more people being comfortable to join us, and just great seeing some faces. You know, as I thought about this Easter message, it was just on my heart to talk about overcoming, because we've had to go through a lot. It just the ups and downs. At Easter, we thought we were going to be doing a two-week quarantine. Told Amanda, 2 weeks, we can do this. Didn't know it just gets stretched out and all the ups and downs. Hey, we're getting over it. We're back in it, having a quarantine and everything else. It's just been a hard year, right? Anybody with me? Yep. It's been a hard year, just the anxiety, the fears, everything else that come up. And so I wanted to talk about how we can overcome in Christ. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to see where Jesus takes us. We're going to see what the end of the story is. And I think that when we see the end of the story, it gives us hope. It gives us courage. It gives us strength. And we all need that right now. We're doing service a little bit different. We've been doing family style. We've been dismissing kids to the back, but we're not doing that today. But kids, you do have coloring sheets. So if you guys want to color, and whoever can get me, if you get me your coloring sheet, I'm going to put the best one on the screen next week, okay? Or maybe not the best one. We'll let somebody else vote and determine which one goes up. But send me a picture of what you'd color, and we'll get it on the screen next week. So I want to see some of these coloring sheets and what you guys do. And that takes us to the big idea, kids. You guys ready for a big idea?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready for a big idea?
Yeah!
All right. Somebody is really ready for it. I like it. All right, here's the big idea. What do we celebrate on Easter?
The resurrection of
Jesus Christ. That's right, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's great. So on Easter, Jesus was resurrected. And that means if he was resurrected, we can overcome too. He was resurrected in the grave and came out. He overcame death. And so that means that if we trust in him, we can overcome death as well. You know, sometimes maybe you see your older brother, they learn how to ride a bike, and you see them ride your bike and like, hey, I can do that too. Sometimes you see somebody that goes ahead of you and realize that you can do that as well. Well, we see that with Jesus. He overcame. He overcame death. If he overcame death, it means that we can overcome as well. If we trust in him, if we put our faith in him, we can experience new life. And so that's the big idea for today. That's what Easter is all about. It's about his resurrection and the hope that we too can be resurrected. So guys, what we're talking about today, the passage that we're looking at, it's not about the resurrection. It's about what Jesus does for us. It's about the new heavens and the new earth. But sometimes when it gets disorienting, you may feel like, man, I don't know where I am. Sometimes you need a map, right? You get lost, pull out a map. Nobody pulls out maps anymore. We just throw those in the trash. We get our GPS. And our GPS helps us orient, well, I'm here and I'm trying to get over here. And that's kind of what we want to do today, is kind of get an idea, a reference point of where are we at and where is Jesus taking us. And so what we want to do today is look what Jesus achieves for us. We want to look at the new heavens and new earth. And this is one of my favoritist passages. Is that a word, favoritist? It's one of my favoritist passages. It encourages me when things are difficult and hard, and that's what we're going to read today. So this is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea existed no longer. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes, and death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the thirsty from the spring of living water as a gift. The victor will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." That's the word of the Lord. So I want to talk about a roadmap of what is God doing in the world. Sometimes when things get hard, you ask that question. So we just want to do a brief overview of the whole Bible. We're in the end right now. And as we do that, it helps us orient to what God is doing in the world. And the first thing I want to talk about is creation. God created the world. That's where it all begins. And we see creation all around us. We see his goodness being expressed in the world. We see it in purpose and order. We see those things. You know, when you have a bad day, a lot of times when people are struggling with depression, a lot of times I'll encourage them. I was like, you need to get out. You need to get away from your computer screen. Take a walk. Go out and look at the trees. Look at the flowers. Look at the squirrels running around. Look at creation. You know, when you see that, you're reminded that there's goodness. There's beauty. So we see beauty, we recognize it just didn't evolve. It came from God. He created beauty. We see purpose. We see it all around us. You know, I think about spring, and you know, you go for a walk, and all of a sudden these flowers are popping up, you know, and you just see them. Wow, it just seemed like just soil there. Now there's this beautiful flower. You see it in the birds coming back, the birds chirping in the air. Just something about spring as you go out and the flowers blooming, the birds singing and everything else, you just feel this goodness. You see it order in the world. You know, spring is here again. It was here last year. It's back. Maybe some of you think about, you feel part of the order just being in church on Easter. You've done it all your life, and now as you're here, like you've been quarantined, and now you're back, and it kind of reminds you of God's good design and order. We see it in different ways. Maybe you see it in creation. Kids, how many people have studied cells? Can anybody tell me the different parts of a cell? What's a part of a cell? Anybody? Jacob, do you know a part? The nucleus. The nucleus. Yeah, nucleus of a cell. Anybody know another part of a cell? Peyton? Mitochondria. Can you tell me what the mitochondria does? Think he needs help. The power. They make power. That's right. Anybody know another part of a cell? Anybody? We've kind of exhausted my knowledge. Audrey? Membrane. That's right. You know, these itty-bitty cells. Like you look at a word in your book and the zero, there's thousands, millions of cells in that, and there's all these different parts. And how do they know how to work? How do they communicate back and forth? God designed it. You see purpose there. You see design. You could talk about the world and the universe and how it's created, the planets orbiting in an elliptical orbit and moving around, and gravity pulls everything back and does it just enough that it pulls us but doesn't crush us. Keeps us from flying off but doesn't crush us. You see all this design in creation. Reminds you that there's a created order. There's a purpose. Maybe you look at different things in life that encourage you. I think about coming home and just coming and giving my wife a hug. Feeling her just reminds me there's goodness in the world. Feel that created purpose. You see different things that just remind you that there's creation and it's good and there's a purpose and there is a design. But we're also reminded that things don't always go the way we want, right? I mean, sometimes you come home to see your beautiful flowers and your six-year-old had just got a new baseball bat and decided to practice on all the flowers, and they've just been obliterated, right? They've been taken out. Sometimes you come home and you go to give your wife a hug and she slaps your hand away and starts to tell you that your kids are driving her crazy. You experience that, right? It doesn't go the way you hope. Yeah, sometimes you start the business. And there's bumps in the roads. Maybe it closes. You have hardships. There's sickness. There's death. We're reminded of those things. And that's the second part of the story, is that there is a creation, there's a good order, but we also know from Scripture that there was a fall. There was a fall. People turned away from God. They rejected His plan. And when He did that, judgment came into the world. And we feel it in many different ways. We feel it right now in the midst of a pandemic. We feel it when there is sickness. We feel it when there is death. Sometimes you look at this and you think, what is going on? Well, we're reminded that this world isn't perfect. This world is fallen. Sometimes we want perfect now, right? We want perfect, and when it doesn't go perfect, we wonder, God, what are you doing? What is going on? You know, it's like Easter. We love talking about the resurrection. But Good Friday, to talk about the suffering, to talk about death, we don't like that as much. We want to stay on the good, on the positives. But we've got to acknowledge the fall. We've got to acknowledge that there's disorder in the world. This is why I share this. I want to share this quote from Immanuel Kant. He talks about the proof of seeing God's existence from the order and purpose in the world. And this is what he says about that proof. He says, this proof will always be deserved to be treated with respect. It's the oldest, the clearest, the most in conformity with human reason. And it increases belief in a supreme author to irresistible conviction. All right, so what he's saying is, you look around and the created order, it increases belief in a supreme author to an irresistible conviction. He's saying it's such a good argument. But you know what? Immanuel Kant resisted the irresistible. He resisted belief in God because of the disorder, because of the hardship. He saw that. He saw that clearly there's a created order, but wait a minute, look at all the disorder. And he chose not to believe. And I share that with you because I want to ask this question. How is your faith today? How is your faith in God? We've been through a pandemic. Maybe your business has been hit hard. Maybe you've lost friends. Maybe it's not just the pandemic, it's just life in a fallen world. Get pregnant, you're excited. You experience a miscarriage. So many different hardships that people go through. How's your faith? You know, it's real easy to come into an Easter service and just talk about the good things, right? We could do that and stay very superficial. But I just sit here and think, it's like, man, we could talk about that. And you come in and feel all these weighty things that you're going through, and you leave and you feel like this Easter faith doesn't really connect to your life. I don't share this quote from Immanuel Kant to cause us to doubt. Share it with us so that we can be real, so that we can be honest when we're struggling. We've talked about, we want to be a church that's a hospital. When you're sick, when you're struggling in your faith, you can come and find help and encouragement. We've got to be open and honest about the hard parts of life. We see a need to do that. I also share that quote with you about Immanuel Kant because I think that he introduces us to something. We need to see that there is a created order, and that speaks to the existence of God. It speaks to His goodness. But we also see that there is a fall. And I think that Kant introduces us to another need and actually another proof for God. And that's that we need a redeemer. We need a redeemer. The world is created, but it's fallen. It's broken. We need somebody to fix it. You know, every good movie that you watch, there is some kind of redeemer that comes in. Every good movie, it has a problem. And there's somebody who comes in and fixes it. Maybe The Rock, maybe Sylvester Stallone, maybe, you know, I don't know who all the, you know, Robert Downey Jr. coming in as Iron Man to save the day. There is a redeemer. And when we look at the world and we see that there's sickness and death and all these other things, it shows us that we have a need for a redeemer. And that's the third part of the story, is that God sent a redeemer. He sent His Son into the world. Jesus dies on the cross. He experiences death. As you read the crucifixion, you see Him encountering all kinds of evil. We talked about it on Good Friday. He's betrayed. He's given over to death. He's innocent. His innocence is proven, but he's still crucified. His clothes are divided up and given away. He experiences all of that. He experiences the fullness of the curse. And he experiences that so that we can be set free from it. Because the problem with the fall, it's not just that there are problems in the world. There are problems in the world. But the problem is that it's also in us. We turn from God. God said, go this way, and we went that way. We've disobeyed him. We deserve judgment for our rejection of God. And Jesus, he dies for our sin. He dies for our rebellion. He dies for us going our own way. He takes the punishment that we deserve so that we can be set free. This is the good news, that there is a Redeemer. There's someone who has come to fix the problem. You know, a few weeks ago, Amanda went out of town, and we needed a Redeemer when she got back, let me tell you. You know, day one, and she tried to set me up as good as she possibly can. She cooked 95% of the meal. All I had to do was add rice. All right, I mean it's red curry. She's done the chicken, the sauce. It's all marinating. I just need to add rice. And kitchen is a mess. It's all dirty. I sit down with the kids and ask them. It's like, hey, what was the high point of the day? And they start sharing something about school. And I say, what was your low point? And they look at me and they go, Dad, this dinner is the low point of the day. There's a difference in brown rice and white rice. I added brown rice. It was dry. It was hard. Tasteless. All that. I ruined one of their favorite meals. Dishes are everywhere. We're arguing about, well, you should clean that. No, you should clean that. It's a mess. And I just think about when a man is home, she just walks into the kitchen. She starts talking, asking, hey, how was your day? And starts cleaning up, not arguing about, hey, I'm going to do this. And, you know, people stop crying. The dishes get done and everything. It is reordered. She is our Redeemer for the kitchen. She's our Redeemer. I told the kids, it's like, my job this week is to make you appreciate your mom. All right. She comes in and redeems it. She restores the order. That's what we need. But not just for the kitchen, for the entire universe. Who is able to restore the universe? Only the one who created it, right? Who's fit to do that? Who's the one that can lift a curse? Only one that pronounced it. Jesus does all of this. Jesus is God. He dies in our place. We need a Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. Think about that. Who are you trusting in to redeem the world? Who are you trusting in to redeem the dark spots of your life? Only the one who created you can do that. It's a big job description. You think about who is qualified to redeem me. Only Jesus can do that. So we see that he redeems the world. And we see that he promises a restoration. That's the next step, is a restoration. There's a creation, there's a fall. There's redemption and there's restoration. Restoration is when everything is made right. And we want that now. We want to be in glory right now, in glory with God. But we're not there yet. We're in this time. There's been a redemption, but we're waiting for the fullness to come. We are waiting for a complete restoration. You think about a house that's all broken and dilapidated and falling apart. You watch the shows where they come in and they fix everything. It's beautiful. Hardwood floors and everything's painted and it's just perfect. Everybody wants that. We don't want the project, right? The project where it's the hard work, it's the mess. And that's where we are right now. In the history of redemption, the history of what God is doing. We are in redemption and we're waiting for restoration. We're waiting for it's complete, right? We love when our house projects get done. We're not there yet, but it's coming, and that's what this passage speaks to. It speaks about the restoration that's coming. Look at some of the things that it talks about in this passage, the passage that we just read. It says the old order has passed. We're in the old order now, but there's a new order coming. God will be with his people. He'll be with us. You'll be able to see him. You know, you think about when you've been gone from your spouse or a good friend for a long time, And you finally get back and you see them. You see your parents. You haven't seen them in months. You're so excited. We're going to see God face to face. It's going to be unlike anything that we've had now. We live by faith, then we'll live by sight. There's no more crying. Think about that. No more crying. No more Band-Aids. That's what that means. No more Band-Aids. For you little kids, you big kids, no more Band-Aids. There's no more hurts. There's no more crying. There's no more mourning. I don't know how he's going to do that. I know some of you have been through some incredibly difficult things. He's going to bring healing completely. The things that hurt you now, even the things that happened a long time ago that still hurt, that still cut, God is going to heal you. There's no more mourning. There's going to be a new king. The new king is on his throne. There is a new order of life. The curse, all the things that make life hard, they're gone. They've been removed. This is the restoration. This is why we hope in Jesus. We're not hoping in political figures. Look, there's nobody that's running for office that is going to be able to promise you this. Now they may promise, but let me tell you, they're not going to deliver. But this is what Jesus comes to do. He comes to restore all things, to make all things right, to bring healing in the world, and to bring a healing in your own soul. Isn't this beautiful? I mean, this is better than any house renovation you get. This is a renovation of the universe, a renovation of our own hearts. This is what encourages us when it feels like the world is getting out of order. We know what it's going to end like. You know, maybe sometimes you're doing a house project and everything has gone wrong. You took something out you shouldn't have taken out and everything falls apart. Sometimes that's how life feels right now. But if you know it's going to end, if you've seen the finished project, you know, you can watch some of those shows and, you know, you watch the reruns, you're like, oh, I know how this ends. They messed up here, but it's going to be okay. We can go through life knowing that, hey, sometimes there's things, it gets bad, it gets ugly, but we know how it's going to end. This passage points that out. This passage shows that if we trust in Jesus and we follow him, we know what the ending is going to be like. This should encourage you. This should strengthen you. This should mean that what we celebrate on Easter makes a difference every day of your life. I can't tell you how much this passage has encouraged me over the last few years. Over the last few years, I've had some of the biggest hardships that I've had. It was almost 4 years ago that I was diagnosed with Lyme's. I still remember that day. I was throwing a football to my son. My shoulder locks up. My joints were locking up. Go to the doctor, the bacteria is in my heart. I have second-degree heart block. Pulse is going from 70 beats a minute to 30 beats a minute. Talking about a pacemaker and all this stuff. And by God's grace, been able to walk through that and almost get through it fully, got through it fully, and then it came back. But it's like, man, even if I find the solution to this, it is a temporary solution. As we try and find a solution to COVID, it is a temporary solution. We are going to die of something. What is our ultimate hope? Me getting healed of Lyme's, it's just kicking the can down the road a little bit further. I'm going to die at some point. What is our hope? What is our hope for things being made right? As we've gone through this pandemic, you know, you just look and it just seems like, man, I'm on my third gym membership. Things close, things go wrong. It's difficult trying to lead an organization through this time. Sometimes you just sit there, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. But I know the end. I know the ultimate end. You watch the news and you think, man, is it going to get better? I've told people, it's like, it's got to get better. And then it seems like it gets worse. Maybe we're on a turn right now with the virus and everything else. Maybe it gets better. But you know what? Even if it doesn't, we know the end. We know that sickness and crying and hardships are going to plague us right now. But we know that we have a Savior. We know one who has died for us. Death isn't the end. Resurrection is. When you trust in Jesus, you know death doesn't get the last word. What gets the last word? Resurrection. What gets the last word?
Resurrection.
Tell yourself, what gets the last word? Resurrection, that's right. It's new life. That's what we have in Jesus, and that's what this passage points us to. A perfect world, a new world. A new world that it's better than anything you've experienced, even when you look back on your glory days. Won the state football championship in 1982. Glory days. Hey, I'm glad you enjoyed that. There's something better than the 1982 state championship. Whatever it is, whatever you glory in, there is something better. Because I can guarantee you the glory days weren't all that great, right? We talk about it like they're that great, and then you start thinking about it, it's like, yeah, wasn't that great. There's something better that's coming. This is it. This encourages, this changes how we live. Look, I have a quote. This is from Kyle Harper. He is a church historian. And he wrote about how the Christians and the church thrived in the early ages, even in the midst of pandemics. They thrive because their lives were connected to something greater than themselves. They're connected to a greater story. Let's read this. He says, for Christians, it was a positive program. This life was always meant to be transitory. Think about that. Always meant to be transitory. We're not at the end. We're in the middle. It's a transition. And just part of the larger story. What was important to the Christians was to orient one's life toward the larger story, the cosmic story, the story of eternity. They did live in this world, experience pain, and loved others, but the Christians of that time were called to see the story of this life as just one of the stories in which they lived. The hidden map was the larger picture. We just looked at the larger map, the larger picture. There's a creation, there's a fall, there's a redemption, and there's a restoration that's coming. This should strengthen us as we go through the ups and downs of life, whether it's COVID or the next thing that comes, and there's always a next thing. We can take heart. You can overcome, and you can thrive in the midst of it because you know this life isn't all there is, because your ultimate hope is not just in getting more now. Your ultimate hope is in Jesus restoring all things in the life to come. That's where we put our ultimate hope. That's why even in a pandemic, we can celebrate Easter. That's why even when you're in quarantine, you can celebrate the hope of the resurrection. That's why when you're going through the most difficult thing you'll ever go through in life, what Jesus has done for you should cause you to sing. It should cause you to rejoice. It should cause you to have hope. We know the full story. In Jesus, we know how it ends. We want to celebrate that. We want to put our hope in this. One of the greatest things we can do is trust in the Redeemer. Trust in what Christ has done. We want to follow Him, and faith means following Him. Having faith in Jesus means that we follow Him, not just on Easter, but the 365 or four, or however many days there are in a year. Every other day, we're seeking Him. We're following Him. We want His Word to guide our lives. We want His Word to dictate what we do and what we don't do. We want His Word to give us hope and direction and guidance. And that's what we have in Him. There's nothing better than this. There's nothing better than the hope that we have in Easter. Nothing compares to this. Death can't contain this. It's a beautiful hope. It's a beautiful story. And there should be no rival to Jesus as we look and see that only He can do what He did. We need to see that He should have no rivals in your life. Who are you living for? Who do you serve? Is Jesus being rivaled by others? You have a little bit of Jesus and a lot of other things. That means you don't really have Jesus in your life. He's to be Lord and Lord of all. Some people say if He's not Lord of all, then He is not Lord at all. If you trusted in Him, you should be following Him. If you trusted in Him, you should be seeking to honor Him and please Him. If you've trusted in Him, you're living each day for the life to come. You know, this passage, he talks about to the thirsty, he'll allow those to overcome. He's going to give this as a gift. You overcome by trusting in Jesus. You know, a lot of times we start looking to quench our thirst with a lot of salt water. There's a lot of salt water in the world. You know, when you're at the beach and you drink salt water, it's not good. It dries you out even more. And we start looking at things like sports, basketball games, football. Maybe you had a rough day and you need a 12-pack of beer. That's salt water. You need nourishment for your soul. You need spiritual water. That's what Jesus is. And a lot of people are struggling in the midst of a pandemic. Now it's hard, and everybody has had a hard time at some point or another. But you've got to keep coming back to feeding on the living water, to feeding on Jesus, to nourishing your soul with what he has for you. The world is just, you know, when you turn on the news, you try and find some encouragement there, it's salt water, right? It's just going to make you more and more anxious. And you just look for distractions. Man, I just need to, let's just tune this out. Let's take a trip somewhere. Hey, that can be good. But if that's all you have, it's salt water. It's going to leave you thirsting for more. Take a day off work and focus on what Jesus has done for you. That will change your life. That will strengthen you and nourish you. There's a challenge in this passage, too. We can't just look to Jesus and say, hey, that's great, and then move on. We need to serve him. We need to keep looking to him. We need to keep reminding ourselves of the promises that he's made to us. And we need to keep reminding ourselves that we need to come to him. And we need to do that every day. That's what he calls us to do. That's what it means to follow Jesus. I want to encourage you, wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, I want to ask you, what is the next step that you're going to do? Maybe you've been walking with him for a long time, and maybe he's calling you to do something else. What's the next step in your journey? Maybe you've gotten away from following Jesus. Maybe you've gotten distracted. Maybe you've bought into the lies of the world with all the distractions and television, all the neat things we have in life that can crowd out what's most important. Sometimes our greatest temptation is just the temptation to distraction. We get distracted with things that are of secondary importance. What's Jesus calling you to do now? What step is he calling you to take to make him Lord of all? I want to take some time. We're going to pray. And I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for wherever you're at with the Lord. Maybe you have never trusted in him. And maybe you need to take some steps to discover who he is and what he's done for you. I want to pray for you right now. Just bow your head. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we know the end of the story. We know how it ends. And God, if we know the end of the story, we would be fools to live in a way that is other than what pleases you. God, we want to give ourselves to you. God, it's been a difficult year, and I know many people have had bumps in the road and may need some realignment. And I just pray that you would help them. Help them to see what they need to do to trust you and to walk with you. God, I just pray for them, that you would speak to them and encourage them. If you've had some bumps in the road, I just want to pray for you. Just lift your hand. Just want to pray that God would fill you. Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. God, I just pray for all those who are responding to just needing a filling, needing refreshing. God, we are leaky vessels. And I just pray that they would look to you. And I pray that you would nourish them and strengthen them with living water. Nourish them with your spirit. Give them a fullness and a joy that can be found nowhere else. Just pray you'd strengthen them in their walk with you. Just also want to pray for you. Maybe you're new to the Christian faith. Maybe you've been checking things out from a distance, but you just feel like you need to make that decision to trust in Christ. I want to pray for you. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If you feel like you just need to trust in Christ, lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. God, I just pray for those who are lifting their hands. God, I pray that you would help them to make that decision to follow you, that you would be their Lord of all, that they would put you first in everything. And God, I just pray that as they lift their hands to acknowledge their need for you, their desire to follow you, I just pray you fill them with a peace that transcends all understanding. Help them to make a new beginning today, a new beginning where they are putting you first in everything, in the big decisions and in the little decisions. And God, I pray that you'd be with them when it gets hard. It's not easy living for you. pray you'd strengthen them and surround them with the people and the things they need to follow you. Pray for that. And Jesus, we just thank you that we can gather as your people to celebrate what you've done, to celebrate the good news of the resurrection, and to say he is risen. We thank you for this. We thank you for the wonderful and amazing news that we have. You have no rivals. You have no equal. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.